The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on April 3, 1987 in Bangalore, India. The class begins with a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, Chapter 9, Texts 47 through 51.
Chaitanya appeared to establish the sacrifice for the age of Kali. In every age, there's a recommended process, there's a Maha Mantra that is to be chanted. In the age of goodness, the Satya Yuga, the process was meditation. The Treta Yuga, the process was home, fire sacrifice. In the Dwapara Yuga, the process was the temple, archana, worship, and worshipping Krishna and Balaram, who were personally present. And in the age of Kali, the process is chanting the holy names of the Lord. Vitedayatam Vishnum Tetayam Yajatamakai Darpayam Purichachayam Kalo Tad Hari Kirtanat. Lord Chaitanya came to distribute this process. Along with it, he came to give out love for Krishna. And, but he requested all of his followers to also, he read and request, he gave his order that we should distribute this Krishna consciousness fruit to everyone all over the world. So let all the people eat the fruits and become free from old age and death. I was explaining this morning how Lord Chaitanya's movement was freeing people from death and old age by this simple process, Sugam Rasta. One can very quickly return back to home, back to Godhead, can develop spontaneous devotion for the Lord and be freed from the dangerous repetition of old age and death. After explaining that, one gentleman stood and he expressed his desire to like to build a hospital to cure the diseases of society and whether we had a scope for him to do so. I explained in Krishna Conscious Movement we also want to create various infrastructures to serve the people. Hospital fits within that in a broader sense, but it's very low on the priority at the present moment because the people's spiritual disease is so acute in the world. The problem is that very few people can understand that there's a spiritual disease in society. Mostly people can see that there are physical diseases, but physical disease in many cases stems from spiritual disease. The spiritual disease is when we forget Krishna. We forget our relationship with Krishna. We simply remember the body. Then we become totally bound up in action and reaction of karma. This forces us to take again and again old age and disease, birth and death. So although a hospital may, not that we're against hospitals, we're for hospitals, we have many disciples who are doctors, but the point is that just as hospitals are important for the body, there also is a need for hospitals for the soul. Hospital can only repair your body in this life. It cannot guarantee you won't get a body in the next life. Rather, simply if you go to the hospital without any spiritual life, you can be guaranteed you'll again take birth in the material world. So that means it's like first aid, because it doesn't cure the disease of being born in the material world. Once you're born in the material world, everyone gets sick. Everyone gets old. So Lord Chaitanya is saying, distribute this Krishna consciousness, people will no longer grow old, nor will they die. How is it possible? We're saying that even the devotees chanting Hare Krishna, they're growing old, and we hear that eventually they also die. So then what does this mean? It's explained by Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada stated, the Krishna consciousness movement introduced by Lord Chaitanya is extremely important, because one who takes to it becomes eternal, being freed from birth, death, and old age. People do not recognize that the real distresses in life are the four principles of birth, death, old age, and disease. They are so foolish that they resign themselves to these four miseries, not knowing the transcendental remedy of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from all misery. But because they are enchanted by the illusory energy, people do not take this movement seriously. Therefore, those who are actually servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must seriously distribute this movement all over the world to render the greatest benefit to the human society. So, Lord Chaitanya therefore gave this order to all the members of his movement to distribute the Krishna consciousness message all over the world. So how did his followers receive that instruction? It's interesting to note. And what was the result of their accepting his order to distribute love for Krishna in the form of the chanting of the holy name? It's explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adila, chapter 9, text 47. Eyagya Kwailo Jodi Chaitanya Malakar Paramananda Pailo Bhikkhu Purivar. The descendants of the tree, the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, were very glad to receive this order directly from the Lord. Prabhupada gives the purport. It is the desire of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the benevolent activities of the Sankirtana movement, which was inaugurated 500 years ago in Navadvipa, we spread all over the world for the benefit of all human beings. Unfortunately, there are many so-called followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who are satisfied simply to construct a temple, make a show of the deities, collect some funds, and utilize them for eating and sleeping. There's no question of their preaching the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. But even though they are unable to do so, if anyone else does it, they become envious. This is the condition of the modern followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The age of Kali is so strong that it affects even the so-called followers of Lord Chaitanya. At least the followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must come out of India to preach his cult all over the world. But this is the mission of Lord Chaitanya. The followers of Lord Chaitanya must execute his will with heart and soul, being more tolerant than the trees, and humbler than the straw on the street. Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivedanta Swami used the example, the world is on fire. Fire of materialism, fire of ignorance of Krishna. Just like if someone's house is on fire, say even in Bangalore, if there's some North Indian, his house is on fire, maybe he cannot speak Kannada or Tamil, maybe he cannot express perfectly, but somehow or another he'll get the idea across that his house is on fire and he wants people to help him. Like that, Srila Prabhupada said, we may not be perfectly be able to explain to every person, but we should be so concerned that Krishna consciousness is not being spread in the world, therefore people are suffering due to their karmas in so many ways, where they could be freed from their karmas by practicing Krishna consciousness. The devotee must become very dynamically involved in delivering the fallen souls, just like a man tries to put out fire in the house. So if someone starts to give out this message of love for Krishna to everyone, then what does that mean? They give all the love for Krishna, but nothing is left for themselves. Like if someone has crore rupees and he starts giving away money here and there, then pretty soon he'll have no money. So if you have love for Krishna, you have the holy, you start giving this to everyone, then eventually you'll have nothing. Is that correct? It's not correct. There's a difference because this is transcendental wealth. That's explained in text 48. Jai jaha taha dana kore prema phal, phala swadhe matha loka hoi lo sakal. Translation. The fruit of love of God is so tasteful that wherever a devotee distributes it, those who relish the fruit anywhere in the world immediately become intoxicated. Purport by Prabhupada. Here the wonderful fruit of love of Godhead distributed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described. We have practical experience that anyone who accepts this fruit and sincerely tastes it immediately becomes mad after it and gives up all his bad habits. Being intoxicated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gift, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the statements of Chaitanya Charitamrita are so practical that anyone can test them. As far as we are concerned, we are most confident of the success of the distribution of the great fruit of love of Godhead through the medium of chanting of the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So, you see, normally when we think of religion, we think of austerities, penances, rituals, very dry and laborious things. Only a few pious people are attracted. Most people in the age of Kali, they are not so attracted by these things, especially in the Western world and those people who are more westernized. In fact, when Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada went to preach in the West and he gave the people the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he didn't specifically tell them that this was religion. Because if you tell people it's religion, then people say, I don't want religion. He told them it's yoga. It's yoga, it's a type of meditation, it'll make you happy, something vague, or something very technical which went over their head. So people would chant, and they would chant and they would feel very blissful. They would dance and they would feel ecstatic. They'd feast on prasadam, and they'd be filled with joy. Jai Jagannath, Jai Krishna Balaram, Jai Jai Tagore,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna. So as a result, many people took the chanting of Hare Krishna. However, initially in India, when we came to distribute the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, people were shy to chant. They said that, no, we know Hare Krishna is name of God. We don't want God. We don't want religion. We want economic development. Or we want something else. More materialistic. But gradually, people are starting to catch on to the secret that chanting of Hare Krishna is actually the greatest happiness, the greatest joy that one can ever experience. That actually, by chanting Hare Krishna and developing love for God, for Godhead, one can experience the symptoms which no one ever experiences in any form of material happiness, basically speaking. Or at least, nothing comparable at all. In fact, in the Bhagavatam it mentions that if you take all the happiness a human being can have, like a great king with many wives and opulence and everything, take that maximum kind of material happiness a person could have in this planet as a human being, pious activity, not sinful activity, pious according to, because sinful means that later you enjoy now and then later you pay and you suffer. That means according to karma kanda, someone's following everything very properly, no anxiety, very peaceful life, all type of material facility for enjoyment. That is considered as numeral one, coefficient. For those of you who are mathematical wizards, you can call it a coefficient or a K factor of one. It's the basis. Then if you go up to the Gandharva Loka, their happiness is 10 times more than human beings. Their standard of enjoyment. You go up to the Chandra Loka, moon planet, it's another 10 times or 100 times more than human beings. They can drink Somarasa. By drinking Somarasa, they get rid of their bad karmas. Then you go up to, then there's We know there's a Chodha Bhuvana, 14 planetary systems. We're number 7. So each time we should go up, 6, 5, 4, Kanaralok, Chanaralok, Siddhalok, finally get up to Indralok. Each one you're getting 10 times more happiness. So when you get up to the level of the universal demigods, that means the level of Indraloka, that means like Varuna, Vayu, and so many other demigods, then again, they're 10 times higher than the previous, or even sometimes 100 times than the previous. The major controller, controlling demigods. But compared to them, Indra being the king of the demigods, the devatas, he's got 100 times more enjoyment than the other devatas, being their king. They said compared to Indra, Brahma, his happiness is 1,000 times more. Being in the, having a long life in Satyaloka, with very few worries, is much more happiness. But compared to all the happiness in the material world, and just come back to what human being is just one, then you multiply what compared to being a Brahma, what happiness we experience here. But you compare even the happiness of a Brahma compared to the happiness of merging into the Brahma Jyoti, of realizing the Brahmananda. It said that is like a drop compared to the ocean for achieving Advaita or Sahuja Mukti. The bliss is so much more. But to compare to the bliss of liberation by merging in the Brahma Jyoti, that is compared to love for Krishna Prema, is like comparing the small quantity of water in a hoof's footprint to the whole entire ocean, unlimited ocean like Pacific, Atlantic, Indian Ocean. In other words, love for Krishna is so much greater. The four Kumaras, they were Brahman realized. They could always see the Brahma Jyoti. They realized in it, not just seeing with eyes, but realizing by heart, by consciousness. When they went to Vaikuntha and saw Narayana, and they bowed down at the lotus feet of Narayana, it said that their body started to experience various symptoms, laughing, shaking in the body. They started to feel an ecstasy, much greater, unlimitedly greater than the ecstasy they were experiencing, realizing the Brahman. Immediately they became converted as bhaktas. In history of the Vedas, you don't find any bhakta who after realizing Vishnu became attracted to the Brahma Jyoti. But you find many Brahman realized souls who after realizing the Brahman, when they realized Krishna or Vishnu, they became devoted and bhaktas. So that love for Krishna is so rare. The Bhagavatam said that Krishna, he easily gives donations of swarga, live in Indralok, live in Satyalok, that's no problem for him. Just like Air India gave an award, free ticket to America. But that you can't stay in America, that's free ticket for tourism, you can go for 2 months, 1 month, and then you come back. So if you get ticket to swarga, again you have to come back. Abramhana, Bhuvana, Lokir, Puna, Arvatin, Arjuna. Only when you reach Krishna, Mamupetita Kunteya Punarjanmana Vidyate, you don't come back again. So even to reach the spiritual world, Krishna, he would easily give liberation. But his love, the pure love for himself, that he was very, very conservative in giving. Because once someone is a lover of Krishna, then Krishna becomes obliged to protect the devotee and reciprocate with the devotee in various ways. So Krishna was very not so liberal in giving out pure love. He'd give other things out very easily. But his pure love, he would give to only those who were completely surrendered to him. So Lord Chaitanya's mission in giving this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra chanting is that he's giving people freely this love for Krishna. Very easily a person can experience that highest happiness. Even in our impure state, we may experience just a reflection of that happiness, and that will be more profound and satisfying than any amount of material happiness. I mean, inconceivably. Otherwise, how the people all over the world, by chanting Hare Krishna, they're giving up the bad habits and heaving to the chanting. Because they're getting a taste. Of course, by bad association, in an immature state, one may forget, or one may become bewildered. But once you've tasted the happiness of Krishna, even if a person, due to bad association, gets entangled again, they can never forget that happiness. Now, we don't realize the full love for Krishna until we are fully liberated. But by chanting Hare Krishna and following in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can taste the different stages of love for Krishna developing. As we become more and more pure, similarly we develop a deeper and more profound experience of love for Krishna. There are some of the symptoms of love of Krishna are external, and some of them are very subtle and internal. So when Krishna Chaitanya gave out this mercy, his followers started to develop these various symptoms of love for Krishna. That is described in the next few verses. Keho gora gori jai, keho tohunkar. Dekhi anandita hoya hashe malakar. Translation. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the great gardener, sees that people are chanting, dancing and laughing, and that some of them are rolling on the floor, and some of them are making loud shouting of the holy name, he smiles with great pleasure. Sometimes devotees, they become so ecstatic by chanting that they feel like just even rolling on the floor. Of course, we limit this, rolling on the floor and a few other things, because what's happened is that some unscrupulous sadhus, they started to imitate these symptoms just to get a cheap following. And as a result, spoiled the whole thing. So to avoid promoting those type of unscrupulous persons who imitate ecstasy in order to show people, I'm a great lover of Krishna, follow me, the devotees try to internalize their feelings and not show it outside, at least when there's many public presence. Sometimes you can't avoid. But in general, it's a system. Now in this regard, Prabhupada mentions about the Sunday love feast, which you're all taking part in tonight. Prabhupada said, purport, this attitude of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very important for persons engaged in the Hare Krishna movement of Krishna consciousness. In every center of our institution, ISKCON, we have arranged for a love feast every Sunday. And when we actually see people come to our center, chant, dance, take prasad, become jubilant, and purchase books, we know that certainly Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always present in such transcendental activities. And he is very pleased and satisfied. According to the principles that we are presently, therefore, the members of ISKCON must increase this movement more and more according to the principles that we are presently trying to execute. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, thus being pleased, will smilingly glance upon them, bestowing his favor, and the movement will be successful. So, Lord Chaitanya is very pleased with you when you're singing and dancing and eating Krishna prasadam. So you should remember that and come every Sunday and please Lord Chaitanya. And when you come and the kirtan is there, don't hesitate to sing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare. Or don't feel shy to dance. And if you feel like laughing, that's okay. Jai Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu ki. Jai Krishna Balarama ki. So, Lord Chaitanya is giving out this love for Krishna. If you chant Hare Krishna following his instructions, then very quickly you can experience the sublime nature of the chanting. As I mentioned, this is something more valuable, more pleasurable than anything even in Brahmaloka. Even the great demigods are hankering to get love for Krishna, which is possessed by great devotees like Narada Muni, or like the associates of Lord Krishna, his queens, or the like Rukmini, Satyabhama, or the gopis, Yasoda, Nanda Maharaj, the great demigods, like Yudhisthira Maharaj, They're hankering to get such a mercy. But it's not so easy. But you are able to get it very easily by chanting and dancing and feasting. That's why you come to love feast. If you come every week to the love feast, you develop love for Krishna. And you can also practice in your home the rest of the week. So there are many movements where people say one thing but they do something else. So Lord Chaitanya, his teaching was that one should teach by example. First act and then teach. So Lord Chaitanya, whatever he taught, he also practiced. That's explained in text 51. E malaka kai e prema fal, nirabaddi mataro he vivasa bhival. The great gardener, Lord Chaitanya, personally eats this fruit. And as a result, he constantly remains mad, as if helpless and bewildered. Lord Chaitanya, the greatest scholar, he ate this fruit of love for Krishna. As a result, he was always in a state of ecstasy. Sometimes he would dance so intensively that he'd jump high in the air and then land on the ground and jump again and up and down. And then sometimes he'd crash to the ground, unconscious, stunned in ecstasy. People were afraid his bones would be breaking. Sometimes he went in such a samadhi state that his arms all disjointed and became like 9 feet long, just because just the joints are held by the skin. All had become disconnected. And the devotees, they gather around him and chant Hare Krishna in his ear, and then everything would come back together. So in this way, actually Lord Chaitanya showed many miracles in regard to the chanting. But people would see him, they couldn't believe how he's dancing and chanting, you see. And he would go on chanting and chanting, the other devotees would get tired. Finally, Lord Nityananda or someone would have to go and remind him that the others are mortals and they cannot chant more, they need a little prasad or something. So then, we cannot imitate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But certainly by chanting, one can feel spiritual happiness of such an intense variety that there's nothing comparable to it. In fact, when Prabhupada was preaching to the West, some of the Christian priests were asking, what have you done to our children? That they were with us, but they did not look so bright-faced as they look now. Now we see them chanting and singing on the street. They are effulgent, they're very bright-faced, very happy. They were never happy when they are with us, to that extent. What is it you've done? How has this happened? This is a wonderful thing about chanting. It transforms people into very blissful people. If we stick to chanting very regularly, we don't stop, then our success is assured. But in the beginning stages, until we reach Krishna at every stage, you can say also, Maya is always trying to see if she can get us to stop chanting. But if we're determined that no, every day I'm going to chant, and I'm going to try to avoid the offenses in chanting, then by Krishna's and Lord Chaitanya's mercy, one can go on chanting without any cessation. Lord Chaitanya's mission was, one must first act himself and then teach. This is the function of a real teacher. Unless one is able to understand the philosophy that he speaks, it will not be effective. Therefore, one should not only understand the philosophy of the Chaitanya cult, but also implement it practically in one's life. While chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sometimes fainted and remained unconscious for many hours. He prays in his Shikshashtika, Yugaitam nimeshena chakshusha pravishaitam sunyaitam jagat sarvam Govinda virahename. O Govinda, feeling your separation, I am considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I am feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. Shikshashtika 7. This is the perfectional stage of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and eating the fruit of love of Godhead. As exhibited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one should not artificially imitate this stage. But one is serious and sincerely follows the regular principles and chants the Hare Krishna mantra, the time will come when these symptoms will appear. Tears will fill his eyes and he will be unable to chant distinctly the Maha Mantra, and his heart will throb in ecstasy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that one should not imitate this, but a devotee should long for the day to come when such symptoms of trance will automatically appear in his body. So, Lord Chaitanya, in conclusion, has commented that, by Krishnadas Kaviraj, that with his Sankirtan movement, the Lord made everyone mad like himself. We do not find anyone who is not intoxicated by his Sankirtan movement. Jai Jai Purve Ninda Kvailo Boli Matava Seho Falakaya Nache Boli Balava. Persons who had formerly criticized Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, calling him a drunkard, also ate the fruit and began to dance, saying, very good, very good. You see, now it's mango season, so sometimes it's hard to tell what mango is good. Sometimes you get a mango and then you bite into it, it's filled with the strings. They get all in your teeth. You cannot enjoy properly. Sometimes you get a mango, it's very sweet, very juicy, very small seed, very thin skin, very tasteful. Then you say, oh, this is very good, very good. So this is the fruit of love for Krishna. You won't know what it's like until you taste it. But if you taste it, then you can appreciate. So some people are saying, oh, these Hare Krishnas, they're fanatics, well, they're dancing on the street, singing and dancing, what's wrong with them? But then somehow or another, if they just try, well, let's just chant one time and see what it's like. Then gradually they say, oh, this is very good, very good. So that is Lord Chaitanya's. I was mentioning that normally when we think of religion, we think of so many rituals and penances and very difficult things. So Prabhupada explained that because in age of Kali, we're a bit childish in our approach to life. We look for the fun times, but we kind of neglect the very important requirements. Of course, not everyone. In India, more people are religious-minded. But even then, we can see gradually the tendency coming. And in the Western world, people, they are more inclined for the enjoyment. Even in India, nowadays, we can see if there's a really good cinema on, then sometimes the attendance to our programs goes down that night. So, we see that some competition is there in terms of spiritual practices. So, the point is that Prabhupada explained that just like when there's a feast, the children, they may not have the patience to eat all the vegetables and the rice and the sambar. They like to go right for the paisam or for the sweet. Then after satisfying themselves with some sweet, then they may nibble a little bit on the other things. So Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya, he's very merciful. He could see our state. But we don't have the patience to go through all the dry practices. So he gave us the dessert first. Normally we take the sweet at the end. But he's giving the sweet in the beginning. After getting fortified with happiness from chanting Hare Krishna, then some limited amount of practices we can tolerate. We don't mind, it's alright. But otherwise, it's very difficult to practice in age of Kali. So this is a special facility of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that's mentioned in all the Vedas. He's not mentioning something not in the Vedas. Rather, he's backing up everything he says with Vedic Pramana. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Namai, Vakevalam Kalo, Vanaste, 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 Vagalyanyata. In the age of Kali, chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name is the only way. Kevalam, Gautier, only path. There's no other recommended path that can give you guaranteed success. Nasteva, 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 no other way, no other way, no other way. Gautier-yata. Of course, everywhere we see, so-and-so is the only way, this one is the only way, always see the only way. So it becomes like a cliche. But here in the Vedas, it's clearly stated. In the age of Kali, there are many ways. But they may not get you to the destination in time. But this way is recommended. And other ways are not recommended. Although we respect all ways. But all ways may not get you to that goal in time. Will not be able to in the age of Kali. So effectively as chanting Hare Krishna. Therefore, this is a recommended process by the Vedas, in the Upanishads, in the Mahabharata, in the Puranas, everywhere. So Lord Chaitanya is giving, also with the Harinam, he's giving this very quick experience of love for Krishna, which I mentioned is the highest form of liberation. Even the four Kumaras became intoxicated with love for Narayana, when they could see him in Vaikuntha. So, since you all come here to the love feast, we hope that by chanting, dancing and feasting, every one of you will develop love for Krishna and be sublimely happy eternally. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
It's a very pleasant process of controlling. Singing, dancing, eating Krishna prasada. But it's also a method of controlling the mind. We control it by hearing the vibration, by engaging the mind in devotional service. The tendency of the mind will always be to go here, go there, moving everywhere. Well, naturally, go for chanting, go for